Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome, everybody, to Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where we just watch a bunch of movies.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
I'm in December of 2020.
December.
Merry Holidaymas to you.
It's going to be okay, buddy.
I'm going to make it.
I tell you what, to make you feel better, I'll give you a bonus AOL disc, and you can download a nice movie tonight.
Oh, good.
You know, like a Halloween movie or something.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Welcome, everybody. We're going to talk about movies. Max, do you want to go first, or would you like for me to go first?
I'd like to go first, and then my suffering. Thank you.
Okay. Let's do it, buddy.
I have a movie. It's not a Christmas movie. It is from 2016. It is Pee-wee's Big Holiday.
Yay!
I watched this in December of 2020. It is 1 hour and 29 minutes long.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. What does that mean? We haven't had to confront the almost perfect number.
I know.
Oh, man.
It is a comedy adventure movie directed by John Lee, starring Paul Rubens, Joe Manganiello, and Aaliyah Shawkat? I don't know. I can't read my own handwriting.
It's tough. Handwriting tough.
It is. Movie summary: a fateful meeting with a mysterious stranger, that's Joe Manganiello, inspires Pee-wee to take his first holiday ever in this epic story of friendship and destiny.
That sounds like a sexy dream a lot of women have.
Yeah, so it's basically Pee-wee's living in town, doing his thing, just like Pee-wee has been, and we saw him in Big Adventure and Big Top and things, and he's just kind of in town doing his thing.
Yeah.
And Joe Manganiello, as himself, comes into town on a motorcycle, being Joe Manganiello. And Pee-wee's just like, oh, this guy's great. They talk about chocolate milk together, and they have a special moment. And then Joe Manganiello invites Pee-wee to come to New York for his birthday party.
Wow.
And so Pee-wee has to go across the country to get to Joe Manganiello's birthday party.
Oh, my. That's
that is
great.
Literally the movie.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Apparently, Paul Rubens wrote it specifically for Joe Manganiello, and he was just like, I can't not say no. Like, I can't say no to this. This is unbelievable.
No, I wouldn't say no to it either.
No, it's awesome. It is perfectly off kilter and exactly the way you want Pee-wee to be, where it's just that kind of like, it's funny, but it's slightly awkward and uncomfortable, but it's funny.
Does it have like adult humor in it? Because his Broadway show had a little more spiciness.
It has those moments, but it doesn't go super far where it's just like inappropriate for kids.
Sure.
But so it goes just a little, like if you can read into it a little bit more, you get a little bit more to laugh at.
So a little more close to lovely.
Yeah. Okay. It's very fun. It's got a lot of homages to Big Adventure, I think, but still manages to feel like its own beast.
Okay.
Some of the set pieces are a little like, this isn't like the best moment ever for a Pee-wee. And he is definitely getting older. You know what I mean? So having to do the physicality that Pee-wee demands, which a lot of people don't realize, there's quite a bit of physicality that Pee-wee does.
Absolutely. He's not a huge guy. I've stood next to him once.
Oh, okay.
He is not a huge man.
Yeah. So there's a lot he has to perform and a lot of nuances, like physically, like just the way he holds himself, the way he moves, that are very kind of like iconic Pee-wee that he can't quite do as well anymore. But he's so absolute. I mean, he created the character. He's lived the character for his entire adult life. Mm-hmm. He understands it deeply, and that allows you to kind of like, you don't question. You're just like, oh, Pee-wee's getting a little older. It's not a big deal.
Right.
So it's pretty funny. The way Manganiello's written is very humorous. Like, it gets to the point where Pee-wee, of course, may not show up in time for the party, and Joe Manganiello has like all these A-list celebrities at his party, and he's up in his room pouting because he thought Pee-wee would be there for sure, and he's not there.
That's
it's
so good.
Really funny.
That's great.
Yeah, they do such a good like job of just like, they became like instantly connected spiritual best friends.
That's really
funny and weird. It's like kind of like exactly what you want from a Pee-wee related thing. So,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. It was a good watch for sure.
Is there D&D references with Joe?
Not overly, which is kind of a shame because he is a huge D&D guy. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, it's just so much fun. It is a blast.
That's cool.
IMDb gives it a 6.1 out of 10.
Sure.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 46 critics rated this at 80%.
Mm,
yeah.
Nice.
Audience 1,000 plus 62%.
Okay.
And I come in kind of just like the dart that I am, right in the middle, 7 out of 10.
Look at that cluster.
Very fun. Very fun movie. You won't go wrong with watching it.
That's awesome. I didn't even know that was a thing, so I'm super happy.
Yeah, very cool.
Nice. Well, I got a movie.
Ooh, I like movies.
It's an animated movie.
Oh, I like those too.
Yeah.
You've been on a tear with the good animated or animated adjacent with that documentary.
Well, I saw the trailer for this one. It's a Netflix movie, and I was like, maybe. I like good things. Hopefully sure. This is it. 2021's The Mitchells versus The Machines.
I've watched this movie as well.
Have you?
I have.
I wonder if you love it as much as I do.
We'll find out.
Oh, man.
Sam, do you love it?
Yes. Sweet. Spoilers. I don't know when I watched it because I didn't write it down. It's 1:51.
Okay.
A little long here. Animation adventure comedy directed by Michael Rianda, starring Abby Jacobson, Danny McBride, and Maya Rudolph.
And I know that Lord Miller had a hand in the production of this.
Okay.
Coming off the Spider-Verse.
It's a lot of the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And you can see it in the animation and the style.
Yes.
And it works.
You know,
for characters you don't know shit about, it worked really good and it added a lot.
I concur.
So these people have a long career, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're trying to kind of...
The next Pixar, maybe?
That's what it feels like, right? Like we're in the Pixar DreamWorks ilk where we have that kind of look and you can kind of like, if you watch them, you'd be like, oh, that's the shapes and the style of that.
You know, I almost hope they're their own thing, but if they got like absorbed into DreamWorks or Disney, like we'd still get all this great stuff forever.
Yeah, like I'm cool.
I mean, Disney maybe makes the most sense because of the Spider-Verse connection.
Right. I'm cool with like the, like that, like Don Bluth had his hand animated stuff in the 80s and you could really tell when it came out. It's like, oh, Secret of NIMH. Oh, I get it. The Feifel Goes West stuff. And it's like, you know, it's all tied together.
Yeah, I love Secret of NIMH.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that'll get on here eventually.
That is so good and so heartbreaking, but we'll talk about that another time.
We'll get there for sure. So the IMDb movie summary, a quirky, dysfunctional family's road trip is upended when they find themselves in the middle of the robot apocalypse and suddenly become humanity's unlikeliest last hope.
Yeah, that's a good description.
It actually is pretty good. It's got some fun cameos. John Legend shows up, Eric Andre, Conan O'Brien, Blake Griffin. Mm-hmm. Like, there are people in this.
Yep.
This is a robots and technology takeover movie.
Yep.
The leader is an iPhone that is rogue, essentially.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, pissed off Siri.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it's nice.
The Mitchells are likable, but they just ruin everything they touch. They have that Midas touch, you know?
Where it's
the reverse. The reverse Midas.
Yeah, especially the Danny McBride character, the dad.
Everything he does, he screws up so magnificent. And like, you're watching it and it's cringeworthy in a way.
Yeah.
But it's so much fun.
He's so cocksure when he does it. I mean, it's a man who has to literally carry around a screwdriver because he breaks so much shit. It's
right.
Great.
Yeah. And I think the fact that you can tell it's coming from such a loving place when he breaks everything, you're just like, oh, come on, guy. Get it. The one time, get it.
I got to tell you, the family feels so very authentic.
Yes.
Like, man, they all have their little eccentricities, and in a family way, you just learn to love you love a family member because of their eccentricities.
Right. They all have arcs. It's so good.
It's very well written.
I love the mother's arc. The mother gets real good by the end.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And I won't spoil things, but the son just does one of my favorite things at the very end, and I won't go into it, but my goodness, this movie is so much fun. That's actually my last bullet point. The finale is a perfect wrap-up of every loose end.
It does such a nice job. I love that they made all these animated movies. You have to have like one weirdly, really like weird but endearing character. And in this one, it's the dog.
The dog, the pug.
And the fact that they mix it and make it like there's a little like plot point where the robots get confused by the dog because they can't tell if it's a dog, a pig, or a bread.
Yes.
Is so fucking funny. Like, it's so smart. And it's like, it completely justifies that creature being, not to just be like offbeat cute, right? Like,
right.
Like a porg or something. Like, all the little things have to have that cutesy little like toy. And this is that dog. It's so funny. So funny.
Yeah, I wish this movie went to theaters. I wish this wasn't like a Netflix movie. I wish it was like, I think this movie would have cleaned up.
It's I feel like it's a movie that would have done like fairly well week one and would have done better week two, kind of like Inception's track, where it's just like everybody started talking about it and it just became bonkers.
Yeah, oh man, I had so much fun watching this movie. The animation's real smooth.
It is.
They do a lot of things. It's fast paced. There's, you know, robots flying around. There's lasers and things like that happening.
Right.
But the family is just so good. It's just... really fun.
The main character, she is so fantastically written.
Like,
they don't, like, you kind of get the notion that she's queer. You get that she's really into filmmaking and artistic. And she's so multifaceted that it's all just feels legit. You don't question it. It doesn't feel forced. None of it does. It's just so lived in and authentic. The brother starts to develop over the course of the movie. Everybody does. Even the dad, who's super one-dimensional through the first two acts, starts to, like, oh man, it's setting the little moose.
Oh, the moose
and everything
is
so good.
Oh,
it's so smart.
Like,
it's so touching. Yeah, it's very good.
This movie, great.
Yes.
So let's see how everybody else feels about it. IMDb, 7.7.
Not high enough.
Rotten Tomato critics, 173 critics. What would you think?
I'm hoping for above an 85.
you're going to be happy.
Good.
And I was shocked.
Okay.
98%.
Damn. That's what's up.
I could not believe it, but I'm not arguing with it. This movie's so much fun.
That is a blast.
1,000+ of the audience. You want to guess that one?
I'm going to go with 81% because they suck.
88.
Okay. All right, good. You suck less than I thought, audience. Way to go.
And my score, I gave it an 8.5, and the wife gave it an 8.
I think that's totally valid.
Yeah.
I'd be right in that wheelhouse.
This like, movie.
Between an 8 and a 9.
So much fun. I was shocked at how fun this movie was.
So good. The storytelling's great. The little offbeat, like it all kind of works. So good.
Like I said, I sat down to watch this just because it looked like a fun movie, and I actually felt happier when it was done. I was like, I had a good time.
A lovely movie.
Yeah.
It's not just like a movie you put on for the kids. It's like, and it's not like the Shrek style of there's like adult jokes in there that's why you're sticking around. There's not really any adult AIM jokes. A couple. But like mostly they're like old technology jokes and right. shit. Like it's not like inappropriate jokes that they kind of hide. It's just awesome. Awesome movie.
It's so good. Please watch it.
Yes, absolutely. A Netflix movie not so awesome.
Uh-huh.
2020 Christmas Chronicles. Deuce.
Oh no, not Deuce.
The Deuce. Watch this in December of 2020.
Wait,
sure did.
Does this have Belle Snickle? Callback.
Yeah, 1 hour and 55 minutes, a Christmas family movie. So this is fucking heartbreaking right here. This is heartbreak number one from this movie. Directed by Chris Columbus, who I fucking love.
Yeah?
Love Chris Columbus. Yep. Yep. He sure did direct this movie.
Yeah.
It's got Kurt Russell. It's got Goldie Hawn, his actual wife, which is a smart little piece of casting.
Mm-hmm.
Julian Dennison as the aforementioned Bell's Nickel. And Jazeer Bruno. The movie summary here, teenager Kate Pierce is reunited with Santa when a troublemaker threatens to cancel Christmas forever.
Not a troublemaker.
A troublemaker.
Ooh.
He makes trouble.
Why would he do that?
Because he's a troublemaker.
I understand his function, but...
No, that's it. That's as dynamic as this character is going to get.
Okay.
My thoughts on the movie. This movie suffers from sequelitis. It goes too big and loses focus. The thing that really makes Christmas Chronicles 1 an endearing film is what I said before, the fact that it's really a story about family coming together despite a loss, whereas this one is like, here's some Christmas shit, and it sucks. Major Christmas asshole because of it. Bell's Nickel is hyper annoying and not in like a good villain way. He's hyper annoying in the I want to punch myself in the nuts and pass out as an alternative to watch this film bad way. The script is real bad. The characters don't really arc at all. We don't need the Pierces back when they've already done the thing.
Sure.
Like I understand, you know what I mean? Like they're a lovely little family dynamic and we want to bring that in and whatever. It's like, okay, I get it. Like the characters are trying to get to arc are Bell's Nickel and Santa Claus in this one. Neither really budge much.
Hmm.
And they're both kind of like, I see where you were coming from is about as much of an arc as we get in this film.
Interesting.
And man, it's just like continues to break my heart that Chris Columbus directed this film.
I'm sorry.
It's not good. Some of the, like, the way it looks and, like, the actual production design of the Christmas village is cool and interesting. And, like, I really like the, like, rustic, old-timey kind of look. The Knife Puppy's really having a rough time.
I see.
You brought in all that kitty litter, not realizing that it's a dog and not a cat.
I also fed it a bunch of catnip.
Yeah, that... Still, it's a lot of problems right now.
It's all hopped up on the nip.
It really is nipped out.
Mm.
So this movie is pretty clunky. It's pretty bad overall. So don't waste your time. Just watch the first one and then watch Mitchell's versus the Machines because it's way better.
Do that.
IMDb gives this a 6 out of 10 somehow.
Wow.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 58 critics. So we're very drunk on eggnog or something. 67%. Audience... 44% out of 500+. I'm coming in lower than everybody and giving it a 4 out of 10.
Oh, man. I can't wait till you get to, like, super bad Christmas movies and you get in the ones and the twos. I'm hoping that happens. I'm hoping.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Ooh. I got a movie.
Oh, please. Get us away from Christmas.
There's nothing happy about this one.
That's okay.
This movie's from 2019. It's called Fractured.
Ooh.
I watched it on the 24th of May of 2021. It's an hour 39 mystery thriller.
Okay.
Directed by Brad Anderson, starring Sam Worthington, Lily Robe? I can't read my writing. And Lucy Capri.
Okay.
Your IMDb movie summary. A couple stops at a gas station where their six-year-old daughter's arm is fractured. They hurry to a hospital, and something strange is going on there. The wife and daughter go missing. Who wrote this description? really weird.
It's really weird.
Me write review is good.
Weird happens.
Weird happens. Daughter where?
Sam Worthington does a very good performance in here, but I don't feel this is a super strong movie.
I figured out who wrote the description.
Did you?
It's the machine that the Springfield Police Department uses to find the cars.
Oh, okay.
Car gone, car gone. We understand, but where's the car gone to? Car gone, car gone.
Car gone.
That's who wrote this description.
I think you're right. I will say that Stephen Tobolowsky plays a doctor, which is a lot of fun. You'll know him. He played Ned in Groundhog Day.
Oh, okay.
And he's just character actor. You see him in every, he's a doctor in this, and he's got more of a role than he usually gets.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's really good.
I love it when a character actor, like William Sadler, we're talking about a bunch, get to chew the scenery a little bit more than they normally do.
Right. He's in this movie a good amount. So what happens is, there's a lot going on in this movie, too, and I kind of enjoy what they went for. I just wish it was a little better.
Right.
And like I said, Sam Worthington crushes it in this, but it's just not that good of a vehicle.
Right.
So you have layers where it's this husband and wife and their young daughter, young girl. She is, six? So they're at a gas station. There's a dog. Like the dad goes in, the mom goes in, the girl's waiting outside. There's a dog or something that scares her. She falls down off this little ledge thing and breaks her arm. So they're like, oh shit, we don't know where we are. They were going to like Thanksgiving or something, right? And they're trying to find the hospital. If they find the hospital, she goes back. They're like, it's probably just fractured, not a big deal. End of story, right? But then he goes back to check on her and they're like, she never was here. We never took her in.
Oh geez.
And it's that kind of a story.
Cool.
There's so much going on because as it goes on, Sam Worthington comes unhinged looking for them. He's trying to get in the parts of the hospital he can't get into because you can't do that in a hospital. It's a secured, controlled environment. To the point where then they start bringing in these things about him where it's like, well, he used to be a drunk. And it's like, okay, is he drunk now?
That's interesting.
Is any of this real?
Yeah.
Is this real? What's happening? Is it all in his head? What is real? What is not? And that's a big crux on it. Stephen Tobolowsky is the doctor who checks in the daughter.
Okay.
And he keeps coming. He comes. They're like, oh, track him down. They finally get him in. And he's like, oh, I remember you. But no, your daughter wasn't here.
Oh, nice.
And you're like, what is going on?
That's cool.
So it goes a lot of different ways and you're not sure what's going on. But you know one of a couple of possibilities. It's either something's up in this town because there's a lot of weird. It's very like grays and greens almost.
Okay.
It has a weird color palette.
Oh, I like that.
It's good and it's bad. But I think they went too far with it.
Okay.
Because I like the idea of like something's off here.
Right. But I like that subtle hint because a lot of people wouldn't pick up on the color palette being off.
Right.
So that's nice.
It's dead, especially, and it's only in the hospital because there's a couple scenes outside of it and it's whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you're like, okay, he's either a drunk or they actually did something mysterious with his daughter and his wife eventually goes missing too.
Right.
And you're like, wait, where's your wife? Who was with you? And like, it's very strange.
That's cool.
It is, but let's see what the score say. IMDb gave it a 6.4.
Uh-huh.
Rotten Tomato critics gave it 59%, 29 critics. 500 plus gave it 49%. I gave it a 6. It's okay.
Sounds like it's treading on a lot of cliche.
It is. And I mean, I enjoy the end. I enjoy all your payoffs. But ultimately, I was like, well, it's a good performance. But as a movie, I was like, meh. Oh, my wife liked it a lot. She gave it a 7.5.
Okay. This sounds like a wife choice.
Yeah. This was definitely like, oh, let's just do this one. I'm like, Sam Worthington did a good thing once.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Goodbye, everybody.